Welcome to our Local Voices special presentation called A Glance Back on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette. A Glance Back is brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and local historian. Local Voices, A Glance Back, a two-hour program, airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. The show focuses on the music, radio features, and history of World War II and beyond as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
Break of day, they're off and away, into the gray clouds flying, flying forth, away to the north, sound of their engines dying, over the mountains, over the sea, keeping the skyways free. Waiting till they return, what will their tidings be? The victory roll, the victory roll. Here come the Spitfires back from patrol. Look up quick, the victory roll. So lovely to see, for three and then three. Here come the Spitfires home from the sea, home for tea, the victory roll. Flying low beneath the cloud, hearts below all proud. Into view against the blue, with their engines roaring loud. The victory roll, the victory roll. Here come the Spitfires home from patrol. Look up quick, there's the victory roll. The victory roll, the victory roll, the victory roll.
Margie, I'm always thinking of you, Margie. I'll tell the whole wide world I love you. Don't forget your promise to me. You know, I bought the home, ringing everything for my little Margie. Margie, oh, you've been my inspiration. Darling, you're the only one. After all is said and done, there is really only one. Whoa, Margie, Margie, it's you. Thank you. get it again, and I'll see about a little lot of up to skid in the bottle, dip dip and see it in the bottle, see about it, see it all.
Thanks to the Boonslick Historical Society for bringing us this historical content on Local Voices with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Becomes you I'm thrilled at the sight. And I could get so romantic tonight. You're all dressed up to go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. What a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight, although moonlight becomes you so. To go dreaming. Now don't tell me I'm wrong. What a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight, although moonlight becomes you so.
You're listening to 94.7 KPIP. I'm Rachel Steele. Now it's time to take a look back at the events that shaped this country and the world. With This Week on History on KPIP's Local Voices, a glance back. In 1865, at the Battle of Sailor's Creek, a third of Lee's army is cut off by Union troops pursuing him to Appomattox. In 1896, the modern Olympics begins in Athens with eight nations participating. In 1909, Americans Robert Peary and Matthew Henson become the first men to reach the North Pole. In 1913, the 17th Amendment is ratified, requiring direct election of senators. In 1950, Muddy Waters, an American blues musician, is born. In 1917, the U.S. officially enters the First World War as the U.S. Senate votes 90-6 to enter the war on the Allied side. In 1924, four planes leave Seattle on the first successful flight around the world. In 1925, F. Scott Fitzgerald publishes The Great Gatsby. In 1926, Hugh Hefner, founder and publisher of Playboy magazine, is born. Then in 1928, Maya Angelou, American poet and author, is born. In 1930, Mahatma Gandhi defies British law by making salt in India instead of buying it from the British. In 1935, the Works Progress Administration, also known as the WPA, is approved by Congress. In 1937, Colin Powell, U.S. Army General and Secretary of State, is born. Powell died from complications of COVID-19 in October of 2021. In 1940, Germany invades Norway and Denmark. In 1941, Field Marshal Erwin Rommel captures the British-held town of Benghazi in North Africa. In Europe, German commandos secure docks along the Danube River in preparation for Germany's invasion of the Balkans. And in 1941, German forces invade Greece and Yugoslavia. In 1942, the Soviets open a rail link to the besieged city of Leningrad. In 1949, the treaty is signed, creating the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. In 1950, comedian Bob Hope makes his first television appearance. In 1951, Americans Julius and Ethel Rosenberg are sentenced to death for espionage. In 1952, President Truman orders the seizure of U.S. steel mills to prevent a strike. In 1955, Winston Churchill resigns as British Prime Minister. Then, on this week, back in 1963, Winston Churchill becomes the first honorary U.S. citizen. And then in 1966, a statue of Winston Churchill is unveiled and dedicated at the British Embassy in Washington, D.C. In 1962, Bay of Pigs invaders get 30 years imprisonment in Cuba. In 1968, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. is assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. In 1970, Paul McCartney announces the official breakup with the Beatles. And in 1974, Hank Aaron hits his 715th home run, breaking Babe Ruth's record. And finally, in 1986, a bomb explodes in a West Berlin disco packed with American soldiers. Remember to tune in next week for another look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back.
From San Francisco comes...
Right, a Roni, the San Francisco treat. Right, a Roni, the flavor can't be beat.
One pan, no boiling, cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Right. Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Rice-A-Roni, the delicious break from potatoes, now in six fabulous flavors.
One pan of boiling cooking ease.
A flavor that is sure to please.
Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat.
Snap, what a sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. Me clap, rap.
Crackle,
Rice Krispies.
I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or spot not brown.
Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies.
I insist that pop's the sound. The best was missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping and the cereal's popping.
Girls don't refuse to kiss a soldier, for you know that he is fighting for your peace. And he is your Uncle Sammy's nephew, while you are your Uncle Sammy's niece. Oh, girls, don't refuse to kiss a soldier, or a sailor, or a big old tough marine. For they'll show the Japs and old man Hitler the toughest bunch that they have ever seen.
Taking a step back in time with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Thank you.
discover what became of my own.
Step Back in Time with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP. Listening to 94.7 KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Rachel Steele. It was this week back in 1950 that comedian Bob Hope made his first television appearance. Leslie Towns Hope, otherwise known as Bob Hope, was born May 29, 1903, in southeast London. He arrived in the United States with his family at the age of 4 and grew up near Cleveland, Ohio. Bob Hope was a British-American comedian, vaudevillian actor, singer, dancer, and author whose career spanned nearly 80 years. Hope appeared in more than 70 short and feature films, with 54 feature films with Hope as the star. This included a series of 7, quote, road musical comedy movies with Bing Crosby as Hope's top-billed partner. Listen in to this short bio of Bob Hope.
The fifth of 7 sons, Bob Hope was born Leslie Towns Hope on May the 29th, 1903, in Eltham in England. In 1907, the family moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and he became a U.S. citizen in 1920. Hope's big break came in 1938 when he was given his own radio show, The Bob Hope Show, which ran for 15 years.
I don't know. They've seen Ham all evening and you're still here.
He would later become a favorite choice as host for the Oscars, and in 1952, he received a statuette of his own for his contribution to the laughter of the world.
Really, I think this is a wonderful thing, a benefit like this for David Selznick, and I want to tell you...
As he rose through the show business ranks, his wit and repartee became infectious, and his friendship was sought by the great and the good of America, including Presidents Roosevelt, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton.
You look great, too.
Well, I hope I look that good when I'm your age.
Former President Gerald Ford and former First Lady Nancy Reagan were among hundreds of friends and family who attended a memorial mass for comedian Bob Hope. Among other show business figures attending the mass were Lonnie Anderson, Ed McMahon, Tom Selleck, Hal Holbrook, and Raquel Welch. Bob Hope has four stars dedicated to his name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and people make their way to Hollywood Boulevard to pay their respects to the man who made them laugh. Radio and movies made him a star, but it was television that turned him into a superstar, and he was a welcome guest in every living room in America. Bob's quick wit and comedic timing is legendary in the entertainment industry, and for more than 70 years, loyal fans followed every step of his career, from the early days in vaudeville to radio, stage, television, and film.
All right. All right. I'm going with them.
Oh.
We're going with them.
As he approached his 100th birthday, Bob Hope became quite frail and was rarely seen in public, and was said by his daughter Linda to be amazed and overwhelmed by the tributes that poured in. 2 months after turning 100, Bob Hope died of pneumonia. He died on Sunday, July the 27th, 2003, and was buried at the San Fernando Missionary Cemetery in suburban Los Angeles after a sunrise mass in the chapel of St. Charles Borromeo Church. Later, friends and well-wishers attended a private gathering at the Hope home. But despite ailing health over the years, there are some things he just wouldn't miss. When his wife Dolores was honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in 1997, he was right by her side. He met Dolores in 1932. They married 2 years later and remained together until Bob's death. On his 100th birthday, the Hollywood and Vine intersection was renamed Hope Square as a tribute to America's favorite comedian. In 1939, he broke the mold when he teamed up with Bing Crosby to make Road to Singapore, the first of many buddy films that would prove irresistible to audiences worldwide. He and Crosby and co-star Dorothy L'Amour went on to do several road pictures. He was one of the first superstars and lauded as a gifted, multi-dimensional comedic performer. His talent was equaled only by his humanitarian efforts, and he liked nothing better than entertaining the troops. He supported the U.S. servicemen and women during World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and even during the 1991 Gulf War. Always the archetypal troop entertainer, he delivered a host of up-to-the-minute jokes with impeccable timing and a bevy of beautiful women by his side. His contribution was immense and his patriotism avidly admired. He was described as an ordinary man who's always funny, and it's clear from the faces in the audience that the servicemen and women who saw Bob Hope perform that every one of them loved him. But for all this, he was the ultimate entertainer.
That was a brief history of Bob Hope. In addition to hosting the Academy Awards 19 times, more than any other host, Hope appeared in many stage productions and television roles and wrote 14 books. The song Thanks for the Memory was his signature tune. Between 1941 and 1991, Hope made 57 tours for the United Service Organizations, otherwise known as the USO. He entertained active duty American military personnel around the world, and in 1997, the United States Congress passed a bill that made Hope an honorary veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces. Bob also appeared in numerous television specials for NBC during his career and was one of the first users of cue cards. Hope retired from public life in 1998 and died on July 27, 2003, at the whopping age of 100. Now listen in as Bob Hope sings his signature tune, Thanks for the Memories, right here on 94.7 KPIP.
Oh, thanks from America to all you guys in blue, you men in khaki too, you tough Marines and nurses, construction workers too. We thank you so much. And thanks to our brave allies, the gallant Russian bear, you British everywhere, and all United Nations who are fighting over there. We thank you so much. Uncle Sam is proud of his relation. To all you folks who battle at our side, and Tojo and Herr Hitler and old Musso will soon take a ride. And I mean their last ride. So I guess that about does it, fellas. This is Bob Command Performance Hope saying so long from the USA and sending the best of the best to each one of you over there. Good luck.
Men, Frank Crummett is here with me to say a word about Roy Tann cigars. Frank Crummett.
I'm really a fan for Roy Tann, and the reason is Roy Tann has more long filler Havana tobacco, and yet it's a 5-cent cigar. Man to man, smoke Roy Tann.
Well, boys and girls, you know what a password is. That's a secret word that soldiers use to get past the sentry and up to the front. Well, here's a password that will get you up to the front in bike races, on the baseball diamond, in all kinds of games. It's energy. You see, the faster you go, the more energy you need. So if you want to win, you have to have lots of energy. And the swellest way I know to get it is just by eating delicious chocolatey Tootsie Rolls. Boy, they're cram jam full of energy. More energy units in one penny Tootsie Roll than you use circling the bases 36 times or when you're riding your bike 3 whole miles. And it's fast energy. Why, no sooner do you pop a Tootsie Roll in your mouth than you can practically feel new strength in your muscles. And what's more, Tootsie Rolls are a good, wholesome food. They're made with plenty of nourishing bodybuilding milk. So next time you have a penny to spend or a nickel, well, if you have a nickel, get the big jumbo-sized Tootsie Roll. And don't forget, the long-lasting penny Tootsie Rolls give you a lot for your money, too. A penny Tootsie Roll is still only a penny. A nickel Tootsie Roll is still 5 cents.
Enjoy the good old days when the world came together to fight for the good of all. This is Local Voices with historian Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Somebody else is taking my place. Somebody else now shares your embrace. While I am trying to keep from crying, you go around with a smile on your face. Little you care for vows that you made. Little you care how much I have paid. I got that old feeling. The moment that you danced by, ooh, I felt a thrill. And when you caught my eye, my heart stood still. Once again, I seemed to feel that old yearning, and I knew that spark of love is still burning. There'll be no new romance for me. over and over and over and over again. I still remember when I sang the words and they made you mine. I'd steal a kiss and repeat each line over and over and over and over, and then we drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listen starts me reminiscing. I'd soon forget that again. I told myself when I said so long.
Listening to 94.7 KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Rachel Steele. It was this week back in 1951 that Americans Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were sentenced to death for espionage. Julius Rosenberg, born May 12, 1918, and Ethel Rosenberg, born September 28, 1915, were American citizens convicted of spying on behalf of the Soviet Union. The couple were convicted of providing top-secret information about radar, sonar, jet propulsion engines, and valuable nuclear weapon designs. Listen now to a clip about Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, their charges, their trial, and execution.
Soon after the end of World War II, wartime allies, the Soviet Union, and the United States began to buck heads over ideological differences between communism and democracy, igniting a Cold War standoff that would rage for the next 45 years. On August 29, 1949, American political and military leaders were shocked at the speed with which the Soviet Union was able to achieve their first nuclear detonation, which was nicknamed Joe One in honor of Soviet dictator and supreme leader Joseph Stalin. Coinciding with America's anti-communist hysteria, fueled by witch-hunting Senator Joseph McCarthy, American officials discovered that Manhattan Project theoretical physicist Klaus Fuchs had funneled crucial nuclear design documents to the Soviets throughout World War II. Upon his arrest, Fuchs identified his courier as American Harry Gold, who in turn pointed the finger at David Greenglass as the spy who handed Fuchs's stolen documents to the Soviets. The finger-pointing continued to escalate when Greenglass named his sister Ethel's husband Julius Rosenberg as the ultimate handoff man to Soviet spy Anatoly Yatskov. Avowed communists Julius and Ethel Rosenberg proved to be uncooperative on the witness stand, pleading the U.S. Constitution's Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. The trial against the Rosenbergs began on March 6, 1951, when Greenglass confessed that he had given Julius Rosenberg a cross-sectional sketch of the Fat Man bomb dropped on Nagasaki, which led to matching convictions and death sentences for both Rosenbergs under Section 2 of the Espionage Act of 1917. The U.S. government later offered to spare the Rosenbergs' lives in exchange for an admission of guilt and the names of other spies, leading to a public announcement from the Rosenbergs that stated, "By asking us to repudiate the truth of our innocence, the government admits its own doubts concerning our guilt. We will not be coerced, even under pain of death, to bear false witness." Many around the world professed that the Rosenbergs were innocent and were simply scapegoated on the grounds of anti-Semitism and America's anti-communist paranoia, including such notables as Albert Einstein, Jean-Paul Sartre, Pablo Picasso, and Dashiell Hammett. Even Pope Pius XII appealed to President Dwight D. Eisenhower to spare the couple, but Eisenhower refused, letting the Rosenbergs' appeal process expire without intervention, leading to their execution by electric chair on June 19, 1953. Funeral services were held in Brooklyn on June 21st, which was attended by 500 people at a Jewish cemetery in Pine Lawn, New York, while some 10,000 others paid their respects from outside the cemetery gates.
Convicted of espionage in 1951, the Rosenbergs were executed by the federal government of the United States in 1953 at Sing Sing Correctional Facility in New York. They became the first American civilians to be executed for such charges and the first to receive that penalty during peacetime. Other convicted co-conspirators were sentenced to prison, including Ethel's brother David Greenglass, who had made a plea agreement, Harry Gold, and Morton Sobel. For decades, the Rosenbergs' sons, Michael and Robert, and many other defenders maintained that Julius and Ethel were innocent of spying on their country and were victims of Cold War paranoia. The couple was executed together, ending their lives on June 19, 1953. You're listening to 94.7 KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back.
It's a lonesome old town. When you're not around, I'm lonely as I can be. I never knew how much I missed you. but now I can plainly see it's a lonesome old town when you're not around. How I wish you'd come back to
been listening to A Glance Back on Local Voices with Fayette's own Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society. Catch another edition of A Glance Back with Jim Steele, a two-hour program which airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. only on 94.7 KPIP.